sport on RT Radio 1 with Kia. Discover our 231 offers at your local Kia dealer. For more, see kia.com.
And here again with the sport is Daz Cahill. Good morning, Tess.
Good morning to you, Richard. We're going to reflect on all of the drama from the World Cup with George Hamilton. Japan last night produced a stunning comeback to beat Spain 2-1 and secure top spot in their group. And Germany are gone. That's the headline from that group. Spain looked to be in control at half-time. Morata's goal had them ahead, but Japan turned things around in the space of 5 minutes. Two goals, the second of which was allowed to stand despite a huge controversy. We'll discuss that in a moment, because the ball did appear to have gone out of play. And the significance of that goal being allowed is that it caused Germany, four times world champions, to be knocked out of the competition for the second time in succession, despite a 4-2 victory against Costa Rica. And even that game was very dramatic, because at one stage Costa Rica led 2-1. Earlier, Belgium were knocked out. Their manager Roberto Martinez resigned in the wake of a nil-all draw with Croatia, which means Croatia advance. And Morocco also goes through at top of Group F after beating Canada 2-1. Well, as I said, George Hamilton joins us now live from Qatar. He was commentator on that Japan-Spain game. There was so much drama last night, George.
Everywhere, from every angle it came. And that second goal that you mentioned there, I think it has highlighted the fact that VAR is the 33rd competitor at this World Cup. 32 teams, and VAR is playing as well in almost every match. From the very start, when Ecuador had a goal disallowed after 3 minutes in the opening game against Qatar, through the various controversies that have continued throughout, we've had goals disallowed, we've had offsides given, we had a penalty given against Poland when it really shouldn't have been given, because there was no punch and goalkeeper Szczesny's part against Lionel Messi. And last night, I mean, where is the spirit of the game anymore? That ball was out, whatever VAR says, fractionally on the line, the curvature of the ball, come on. And then we have these toes that put people offside, or arms that put people offside. You know, it's just gone too far. And I also think the fact is, VAR is so untransparent. Compare it with the situation in rugby, where everybody knows what's going on when the television match official is involved. There were 40,000 people in the stadium last night, and you know, they had no idea what was happening with that goal being allowed or disallowed. And it was only at the very end, when they'd made their decision and the referee does the sign to the television and points to the centre spot, that they knew a goal had been scored. Everybody thought that ball was out. Everybody in the stadium thought it was out. And even on the television replays, Ray Houghton's first reaction was that ball was out. It's just taking things to such ridiculous extremes that it really needs to be looked at again.
And the difference with rugby, the point you make, is that we can hear the conversations they're having in the rugby
officials. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, the drama may continue today. I mean, there's two groups to play off today. I know you're doing the Brazil game, Cameroon and Brazil. And by the way, former Cameroon international Joey Endo will be part of the RT coverage for that. He was hugely popular when he appeared this week. He's based in Sligo. But so Cameroon have to win there. And in the other game, Serbia play Switzerland. There's a rivalry there as well, isn't there?
Yes, this happened in the previous World Cup, when we had a goal scored on Albanian eagle signs made in celebration that with Shaqiri and Shaka, the two who have roots in that part of the world, that the roots go deep, and of course the rivalry goes very deep, and that could be a rather explosive game too, as it was before. But I think, you know, you've got Brazil there, and you've got Argentina, who have recovered from the awful start when Saudi Arabia beat them. I think it's almost like these are side issues as to who is going to qualify, because the big boys have gone and fallen on their faces, so to speak. Belgium, you mentioned, they only scored one goal in three games in this World Cup, and they were supposed to be one of the favourites. And you've Germany crashing out at the second time at the group stage, which has never happened before since this format of the World Cup has been there. They're back to where they were at the end of the 90s, and they're going to have a very serious rethink. And it's interesting to note there can be a maximum of 8 European teams in the last 16, and that, I think, tells another story about this World Cup. The emergence of the football of Asia and Africa, and even Australia getting into the last 16. You know, it's not all about Europe anymore. I think the story about Europe is old men too tired to make an impact that they should have made.
Wow. One last point on today's games, George. In the other group, where Ghana play Uruguay and South Korea meet Portugal, Portugal have already qualified. Is there a chance South Korea might get an advantage there, in that it would make sense for the Portuguese manager to rest some of his players so that South Korea would play a weaker team than the other teams met?
Yes, of course, there's always the chance that that might happen, but I do think there's also the pride factor involved. And don't forget, if I've mentioned old men, one old man who's still there is Cristiano Ronaldo. And I don't think you're going to find Cristiano Ronaldo saying to his manager, hey, put out a weakened team. He wants to end this World Cup ahead of Messi as the man to be remembered at this World Cup. And I think there's that, and given the way this all began with his departure from Manchester United, and that taking centre stage almost over what was happening with the Portuguese team, I don't think so. I think Portugal will go into this determined that they are going to show that they are still real contenders in this World Cup of upsets.
Okay, well done, George. Thanks for bringing us all the drama of it, and good luck today. So RT coverage all afternoon and evening with those games. You know, in golf's Hero World Challenge in Bermuda, there's a four-way tie at the top of the leaderboard. Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa, Sepp Straka and Tom Kim are all on 3 under par. Shane Lowry finished at 2 over after his first round. In hockey, Ireland will play Malaysia tomorrow in the semi-final of the inaugural Nations Cup after a Shane O'Donoghue goal secured a 1-0 win for Ireland over the tournament host South Africa. In rugby, John Ryan will tonight start his for Munster in the game against Edinburgh in the URC. It will be his 200th appearance for Munster, and only 12 players previously have achieved that. The other games tomorrow see Connacht play Benetton, and the big game at the RDS, Leinster hosting Ulster. In cricket this morning, Harry Brook reached a maiden test 150 as England were bowled out for a massive 657 in the morning session of the second day of the first match against Pakistan in Rawalpindi. Pakistan started their reply and were 17 without loss at lunch after 6 overs. Now, in racing, a huge crowd is expected in Ferryhouse on Sunday when Honeysuckle will face a maximum of 8 rivals as she bids for a record-breaking 4th win in the Bar 1 racing Hatton's Grace Hurdle. Limestone Lad, Solarina and Apple's Jade all recorded a hat-trick in the 2.5 mile feature, but should Henry de Bromhead star make a winning return to action on Sunday, she will stand alone as a 4-time victor. Looking ahead to it now is our big race commentator, Owen Ward.
Des, good morning. Yes, Honeysuckle and Rachel Blackmore, they really are our headline performers in racing with this remarkable winning streak they've been on together. 16 wins on the bounce, 12 grade ones, just dominating the 2 mile hurdle division. And there's arguably going to be even more focus on Honeysuckle's return on Sunday. She is going to be retired at the end of the season. So I think this year it's really all about taking in these last couple of opportunities that we'll have to see them competing in the flesh. Now, having said all that, I think we're fairly taken aback last Saturday by just how impressive Constitution Hill was on his return. He really does seem to be the new pretender to her crown. So following that, a lot of eyes, they'll be on Honeysuckle on Sunday to see just what level of form she returns in. And it should be a good test for her because she has made this Hatton's Grace her own in recent years, but she has a new interesting opponent in Classical Dream. He's a 5-time grade one winner himself, so it certainly won't be a penalty kick, but her fans, they'll be travelling en masse to Ferryhouse on Sunday and hoping to see something a little bit special from her.
All right, thanks for that, Owen. We'll have coverage of that, of course, on RT Radio and Television. And ahead of the big weekend, this evening's racing action is in Dundalk.